Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Well, it seems to be the thing everybody's talking about right now. The crash on Netflix. Mackenzie Schirilla was 17 years old when she drove a Toyota Camry into a brick building in Strongsville, Ohio, at close to 100 miles an hour, killing her boyfriend, Dominic Russo, and their friend at the time, Devon Flanagan. She was convicted of four counts of murder in a bench trial, no jury. The prosecution leaned heavily on who Mackenzie was, the threatening text, the TikTok persona, the prior incident where she reportedly told Dominic she'd crashed the car during a fight. A judge called her hell on wheels and said her mission was death. We're going to go through what's going on in this case. This part is about whether her documented behavior actually points to someone capable of premeditated murder, or whether being a volatile, controlling teenager got treated as evidence of something far worse. We certainly welcome your questions, your comments in those sections, Substack, YouTube, wherever you're listening or watching. Be sure to drop them. We'll try to work some of them in as we have the conversation. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. As always, my co-host with me, we've watched this now over the weekend. I've watched it twice now. Before we get into the questions here, we start breaking all this down in a succinct couple sentences. What was your reaction to watching the crash and just what you saw on the crash, not the outside context or outside information? Because there's a lot of people saying, well, that's not really painting the full picture. And it's not. But on the doc.
Yeah, and welcome to my camper from the road, as always. So if I go blinky on you, you know it's my Starlink not working as good.
If you're not going on summer vacation this year, Robin will take you on his.
although I'm always working with Hidden Killers, so
true.
It's a good day, and thank you, Tony, for trying to keep me within a couple sentences. It was interesting because I thought there was good storytelling in the documentary, because I kept getting yanked back and forth multiple times, I thought. And because they made it a very compelling story, they made her a compelling character, they made all the people very compelling. And then I got pulled. I could tell you by the end of it, I'm split. I became very split on it because I could see the ruling. I could understand that. But at the same time, it's not what they're saying. I'm not seeing exactly what they're saying she is. Just because there's behaviors, there's things that she did and her parents did throughout that said it's not exactly a specific fit for a homicidal murderer.
Yeah. I agree. And I think we'll kind of get through both of our thoughts on all this, because there's so many pieces to this whole damn thing. Let's start with one of the big things that is being pointed out. That's a lot of her text messages. She had texted Dominic, "My way or the highway, watch your back, your house, your car, your life." And this is something that she texted him. I believe she was 16 or 17 at the time. Honestly, doesn't really make a huge difference. There's strings of texts, their volatile relationship going back and forth for about 4 years. When taken out of the context of all of that, and I'm not saying it's out of context as a whole, but when you just pull that out, well, that looks, you know, kind of scary. It also looks like the ramblings of a rabid 16, 17-year-old girl or boy who would just text a bunch of shit and shoot it off and not really think about the consequences to what those threats actually mean if you were a grown-ass right. adult saying them to someone else. Another thing they point to is texts or that's 2 weeks before the crash, a friend heard McKenzie saying, "I'll crash this car right now," when they were having a fight on I-71. And maybe that's almost a separate lane. Let's stick with the text. The text message themselves, her volatility towards her boyfriend, did that read to you as anything other than a 16, 17-year-old arguing with her boyfriend?
Yeah, it did, actually. And boy, we love making excuses, though, not you and me, Tony, necessarily, yeah. but society in general, that, oh, they're 16-year-olds, they're young, this is just, you know, typical rage moments, you know, language I use. Maybe-ish. I'm not going to give it a complete pass because, you know, I was a pretty high-strung, you know, emotional guy growing up, too, but I never said anything like that. And the people I hung out with never said things like that either. So I'm not saying it's excusable or not excusable. It's a data point. And this is the data point it gave me, because as I'm trying to figure out her intent, I actually went back to something, and this is where the leakage starts coming in from these text messages, and then we'll get into the car stuff as well. She loves to control. We've been around these people. Yeah. We've seen these people. We've heard it from our own friends. She loves control. They control narratives, they control situations, and they control people. And what she learned somewhere along the way, because I do not think her personality is all that compelling, because if it was, she'd rely on her personality instead of fear. I believe she was using fear as her manipulation tool. I was using fear as her control tool and a control tactic. And as soon as she latched onto a lever of fear that she can induce on someone to get compliance, that's what she latched onto, because we start seeing leakage with vehicles being used as fear. So I believe all these text messages are trying to induce compliance to her will, compliance to her thoughts, compliance to what she wanted to do, control, using fear as her lever.
Yeah. And when you have no levers to pull, that's where people go.
That's the last resort. Yeah. Because yeah. you don't have the personality. So if we go back to what good, healthy human beings do in relationships, us, you, me, Todd, everyone, right? What we do is we create reservoirs of trust, we create reservoirs of goodwill, and we build those things up so that when we have an ask, when we have a task, and when we have a need, the reservoir is so full that people come in abundance to you and say, "Oh, let me help. Let me give you a hand. No problem. Let's pitch in." You know, when before the show starts, all of us ask each other about our weekends because we genuinely care. Mm-hmm. And then we do things for each other. We're there for each other. That's what healthy relationships do. But in her case, her relationship ability, her ability to be a human being that has full relationships with everyone, they're all empty. They're completely empty. And so the only thing she's able then to rely upon, and people like this are able to rely upon to get compliance, is a lever. That lever that she's using, that she's learned through no guardrails, we'll get to parents later, no guardrails in life, is the lever of fear. And she found a way to use it.
Now, I would definitely agree with that. It seems that was all she was, you know, equipped to really use or do. And I mean, again, there's so many pieces to this puzzle and pieces to this recipe that built her to where she is. And the thing is, fear is not an outlier in her repertoire of dealing with people. That's how she works. I'll crash this car right now, a friend said that they heard her say when they were having a fight on I-71. She didn't do it. Pulled over Dominic, got sure. out. That's an interesting one to me. And the parents are trying to argue it. They claim that in their appeal, which that was submitted a day late, which I don't know how you f that up when it's your daughter and you're missing it by a day and then it gets thrown out. But anyway, that's the argument that's being made, is that, oh, no, this was actually said by him and it was misinterpreted. I mean, they're going to have their own narrative on this as well. Yeah. And it's hard to know exactly what's what because it's all hearsay. Either way, she's got a documented trend of making very threatening statements to other people, not actually following through on them, but just trying to scare, it seems, in ways. The judge called her actions controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. It's a character judgment as much as a factual finding. I still, even after all this, looking at her, narcissistic as hell. But again, I'm not trying to give her a pass, but she is 16, 17 at the time. And look, this is, people go through that, especially at that age. It's almost a personality trait of a huge percentage of people at that age. She never has had a chance to grow out of it at that point. She's still a kid. She's still thinking like a kid. Mm-hmm. So you have that going on. To get down to the level that the judge did of saying this was controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful, maybe. I mean, it may have been. But and that same breath, do you think, Robin, she understood the consequences of those actions? Do you think she understood that if she crashes straight into that wall, she has just as good of a chance as dying as anybody? It's pure luck she didn't die. There's no way you're going to crash your car into that building and have a surefire way that you're going to survive. She lucked out. And she says she wasn't suicidal. She might not have been. I don't know. But it seems to be almost that there's a disconnect there. That is common sense that anyone could look at it and go, you crash your car into that building, you're likely going to die. But I don't know that that was going through her mind, just like a lot of young people when they go and do dumb shit. Like, you do realize there's a high chance you could die doing what you're talking about doing.
That doesn't equate.
It doesn't equate at that age. For some reason, it just doesn't equate. Do you think that that's what was happening here? Or do you think she was suicidal?
I didn't see, again, not a licensed clinician. We'll see.
And I shouldn't say the S word. I'm sorry, I was saying.
Right. Self-deleting. Self-deleting. That's it. So I didn't see any signs of that. Her friends weren't that. So the way I viewed that entire sequence, again, and the judge's words sounded very specific. And I think they would fit if the intent was not to murder, but the intent was to control them. Yeah. She was deliberate. All those words the judge used were very, I think, accurate if the intent was to control. Mm-hmm. And to control what people were saying and doing in that vehicle at that moment. So here's how behaviors work. And again, everyone do your own thought experiment on this. We do this all the time in our lives. You do one thing a very certain way for a period of time, and it's effective. Your cause and effect on other people, other humans, your kids, your loved ones, those you care about in your life. And then as people become inoculated or used to your certain behavior, the same effect that you had on others isn't there anymore. And so what you got to do, you got to ramp it up a little bit more to try to get that same effect. And now you're not changing. You're just getting a little bit more intense, a little bit more intense. And so since we had lots of leakage of vehicles being used as threats of fear to induce compliance in whatever way, I think that's exactly what's going on. She's very intent, very, very particular about how she's increasing that because she wasn't getting the compliance at 5:30 in the morning when everyone is, or who knows, she wasn't drunk, but she had THC in her system still. So who knows, but she wasn't getting the compliance she wanted to. You compound that, like you said, not just the teenage mind saying I'm immortal and not understanding that we're all going to die doing this if I don't stop doing this, but also us as a human being, as a species, every human being in general is completely surprised when we are no longer here. That's why I don't want to get gruesome on this. It's why people most of the time die with their eyes open. They can't believe it's happening. And so we don't accept that reality as a species because that's what allows us to have this drive to continue on. So you compound that with this control and you compound that with reps and this immortality feel. I mean, it's just incongruent that her intent was to kill. Her intent was to control. The byproduct of stupid was this. And I love some of the comments. Asshat. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a perfect word, Robin.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the comments I think are spot on too about this is what it appears to me. I'm not a clinician, can't diagnose her. People are pointing out this sounds borderline. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, probably
a lot. And
it was something.
And when you mix I mean, because borderline's very prevalent. Lots of people deal with it. It can be, it's scary as shit. I don't ever want to be in the shoes of someone who has it. That those people are living in hell. And in turn, they make the lives of those around them hell quite often as well. I've experienced it. The adolescence element of this mixed in with borderline makes it twice as toxic.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a fully developed brain yet. You're dealing with, and I don't know that they even technically diagnose it under 18. I don't know if they should or could. That's a whole other question. But the tendencies, the traits certainly are there. So I wouldn't be surprised. But you have the elements too, where you may have a brain that already is going to go there just by its own makeup. You have the youth end of it in there, and then you also have the conditioning of the parenting in there, or the lack thereof. The eternal, she can do no wrong. Yes. She's swearing at teachers. She's being a horrible person in school, and dipshit dad shows up, and I looked her in the eye and I said, did you do it? She said no. And then we walked out. I trust my daughter. You're a fucking moron. You're a horrible father, and you're a huge reason your daughter is in the place she's in right now.
It was so self-serving, wasn't it? I mean, he literally said the entire thing is like, look how awesome I am because I can pick up when my daughter's lying.
And I like to smoke
a
lot of weed. Like, yeah, so do I, and I'm a fucking responsible parent, you fucking moron. The parent, I mean, the people are having a fucking field day with these parents, and I don't blame them. They are lost in their own ignorance and their own story that they have to tell themselves to continue living and not go, maybe we share some responsibility here. And I don't think they did anything criminal. I just think they were shitty, irresponsible parents, in my opinion, and too interested in keeping her happy rather than actually parenting her and helping her stay on a good path. Now, you can be a great parent. You can do that, and you can still have a child that is off the fucking rails, even if you are doing great parenting. But it feels like these people didn't lean into let's try harder. They leaned into let's make her feel better. And I think that's part of what this recipe is.
You know, it's really interesting too, because I mean, we parent every child very differently depending on the needs, wants, dreams, desires, capabilities of that child. I mean, my two kids, we parent differently. Same core underlying, nothing but healthy communication and relationships. But again, each one has different needs and impulses and everything else that you manage. And so here's a good example. So you take Dom's parents in this. They had guardrails. And that kid was, I don't know exactly what he was doing, but he was making money doing his online stuff. Doing
crypto stuff.
So the parenting style of Mackenzie's parents on Dom probably would have worked a little bit more effectively, or it would have been inconsequential, I should say, not effectively, because Dom's got his stuff going. He's got his life on a good track, and his parents had guardrails. Meanwhile, you have Mackenzie's parents, zero guardrails, and because of all these things were Monday day quarterbacking, third party, separated, she needed not just psychologically behavior. I mean, she needed much tighter guardrails than the average person just because she's got a lot of issues going on. But what did they do? None. And so it allowed the crazy in there, that and multiple facets of it, just to run free, not understanding. Again, we keep coming back to this. No consequences for action because of no guardrails and zero problem-solving skills. Her problem-solving default was, let's scare the shit out of people to get them to do what I want them to do. That was her problem-solving skill. That was it. Every single time she faced with something, she tried to scare someone into doing it.
That was her motor. I want to hit two of these before we go into our next chapter real quick that I saw in the comments. What if she was a guy? Would people think he was just an emotional teen trying to control his girlfriend? This would be a completely different story. My fiance pointed this out yesterday. She's like, if this was a guy, this would be a 1,000% different story. And you are 100%, she's 100% correct. This is 100% correct. If she weren't a attractive young woman, this wouldn't be a fucking story. If she weren't super skinny, if she were black, if she were Mexican, if she were anything other than the white girl that she is, I don't think she'd be getting this level of attention, and I don't think she'd be getting this level of consideration and people trying to figure out what the hell's going through her mind at the time. I agree with that. It's how society is with stories like this.
Yeah, it's what it's. It. I wish if we knew the algorithm of what picks up and what doesn't pick up.
I know what it is. It's sad. It is what it is. But yep. It's like, and that's you know, it's not saying it's like, well, people often blame the media. Like, well, this is what the media covers. The media covers what people will watch and listen to and what they will click on.
If people were clicking, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And if people were clicking on the other things, they'd be clicking on, then the media would do more of that. The media follows where the interest is. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying, this would be a very different story if Mackenzie Schirilla did not look the way she does and wasn't who she is. That's, I 1,000% agree. There was one other one in here. What is her father afraid of? Puzzles me. Confrontation. I think that's, her father seems like very much a, let's chill, this is great, everything's good. He doesn't like confrontation in any way, shape, or form. And avoiding that confrontation and correcting his daughter the way he should have several times in life. And look, I'm a girl dad too. It's hard sometimes. And you do end up being a little softer sometimes, probably more than one should. I know I can be softer than I should. But at the same point, you have to be a fucking parent. And I think that's the thing. This guy really probably never should have been a parent at the end of the day if he couldn't step up and be one. And I think he's learning the consequences to those actions, as is his daughter, unfortunately.
You know, it's really interesting. Definitely doesn't want confrontation. Why don't we want confrontation? Because he has fear. He has fear of what his daughter will think of him. He has fear of his wife, because his wife seems to be all in on the daughter, is infallible. And also, he's a teacher. And so I think that factors into it, because he keeps trying to have this persona of the cool guy.
Yeah.
And when you have the cool guy persona, cool guys don't discipline. Cool guys don't do this. I can do what I need to do with just a few cool guy words. You know, and so, and that's what he came. Did he not come across that way?
Yes, 1,000%.
And it got him suspended.
Yeah.
So.
Because eventually you have to grow the F up.
Yeah, you know, if you try to be another student as a teacher, yeah, they're going to think you're cool, kind of. They're not thinking that about you. What they're doing is like, oh, we can walk over this guy.
Yeah.
And so his daughter walked over him. Sounds like everyone walked over him. His wife walked over him. And so,
yeah.
So a lack, again, he's just grow a pair, man. I mean, this is one of the guys just in life that you know, someone's got it. Someone's got to, someone's got to lead in that family. There's not one leader.
No.
When you have the 18-year-old leading that family with chaos in her brain, that's exactly what was going on. The daughter was leading, and look where it brought them.
1,000%. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue our conversation. Links are in the description. The Mackenzie Schirilla case was prosecuted as murder, not manslaughter, for reckless homicide. Four counts, the evidence, surveillance footage of the car accelerating to nearly 100 miles per hour before impact. Black box data showing full throttle with zero braking. 93,000 text messages. That's over the lifetime, not in that one ride, although that would be impressive. And a prior threat to crash the car. No confession, no note, no witnesses to intent. This next part here, we're going to break down how the evidence was interpreted and whether the investigative approach actually holds up, or whether a narrative got built around ambiguous data and never got challenged. I want to start with the bracelet, because that is a piece of the evidence here.
The bracelets.
She had a bunch of them on, and I've watched social media on this, and I've been just kind of silently observing everybody's reactions over the weekend on this case as they're watching the doc. And there's a lot of kerfuffle, if you will. I don't know where that word comes from, but I like it, kerfuffle, around the bracelets. How heartless! How she's more concerned about her vanity, about her bracelets. Take a step back. Look at the context. No, she even says in the damn video, these were the last things that her boyfriend gave to her, and she doesn't want them cut when she's being arrested. I think that's a reasonable request, especially if, and by all evidence that we have seen, or at least some of the evidence we have seen. I'm sorry, this girl did miss her dead boyfriend. The way she's processing it, you know, we can speak to that in different ways because it seems a little discombobulated. But there was plenty of footage in that doc that showed her with what I would classify when I look at it as genuine grief.
Yes.
And remorse, sitting at the gravesite with the dad of one of the victims, and they were trying to communicate with him through the dead, Todd, you know what was that
called?
Yeah,
it's a pendulum.
The pendulum.
Kind of doing the Haddock Ouija board.
Yeah, yes, yep. Exactly. And it's like, okay, I mean, if that makes you feel close, and I'm sorry, if you watch that little piece of footage, that girl was genuine, that was not a fake crying. I don't know. I mean, I felt it to be pretty genuine. I'm getting off topic. Back to the bracelets. Thoughts on the bracelets. I don't think that that was a vanity issue there. It was a self-centered thing, but it was true to her. It was her last piece of her boyfriend that she still had. Thoughts on the bracelet kerfuffle.
Yeah. And good pickups on that. And so I think a lot of the kerfuffle people are having and calling it, because it really is 50-50 on, you could see it as a, you know, someone on a psychopathy scale. This is as a trophy. It's insensitive. It's used as a manipulation of someone else's emotions towards me. Yeah, possibly. But at the same time, I'm on your side with this. There was genuine emotion there for a true connection she felt, which is very empathetic, as well as, see, I saw this as a continuing, kind of going back to some of the things you're saying, not off topic, but a continuum of the same, Tony. And that is her, the thing that really struck me first with her, believe it or not, was her response at the hospital. Again, it was related through her parents when they told her that Dom was dead. Quote, because I had to write it down, I've watched it twice. It's not him. It's not him. Please go check. In tears, wailing, crying, that quote. That is not someone with the intent to kill. That's not the intent. That is not the someone. That is not the response. Someone on impulse without premeditative thought about what to say, which is what psychopathy does, is they have to premeditate what to say because they're empty shells like Koberger, right? Or Corey Richens, who has to read from her kid's book that was ghostwritten for, right? That was an impromptu response to a stimulus of knowledge that's coming in from the outside. Very connected. That is exactly the response you get from someone who unexpectedly, tragically lost someone that they cared very deeply about. And then when you have the next data point of the bracelets, and again, how she responded to it. It wasn't a show. It wasn't for grandstanding. It was very genuine, in my opinion, as well. What happens, though, when we don't like someone, and she's extremely unlikable,
yeah.
We will have our confirmation biases. It's easy to then fill in all these data points of saying she's nothing but horrible. She's, and so I think people are going on that other side because it's easy to confirm, hey, it's just another data point of what a horrible human being she is. But with the emotion that she delivered behind it, it wasn't psychopathic in any context for me. It was real
to
me.
That's the big thing. I mean, we've seen psychopathic. We've seen sociopathic. We've seen, you know, just zero remorse whatsoever. Screw you. I'm going to show you what's right, despite the chaos of everything that's happened around. I mean, look at, like, Corey Richens. That was not, you know, I'm crying, oh my God, this is horrible. That was F you, I'm going to show you I'm right. I mean, this is not that. This is someone who is extremely emotional. But the argument that's going to be made, though, and I'm curious as to get your thoughts on it. I just saw somebody.
Yeah, and everyone in the comments is saying, I agree with everyone in the comments as well.
It was, I'm not seeing it here. Here we go. She didn't miss him. She missed what he provided her. And that's the easy one to jump to. I get
somewhat.
It.
Somewhat.
And maybe that's an element. Is that 100%? I don't know. But here, the thing that I come to on that is, you know, maybe it's 16, 17. That is how she's thinking. That's how a lot of 16, 17-year-olds think. They grow up. They mature. They become fully functional, autonomous human beings with empathy and don't have that mindset forever. She didn't have that opportunity to essentially, well, she is now, she's still alive, she's in prison, but naturally, she had not grown out of that. So was there very selfish thinking going on? Sure. But all that shows us is an unlikable character. It still doesn't show us intent. And it's very easy for everybody to jump to intent when the character is extremely unlikable. I get it. But I think that's a area here that's a very gray area. It's not just so flip the switch.
I think it's, and you make, and if I think everyone can agree, well, that's, I challenge everyone to agree, and I challenge you to think about this. That's a better
I challenge
way
you all to agree. No,
I know, sorry, I got rid of that. It goes back to intent. I don't believe her intent was to kill because it made no sense because she's involved in that. I think her intent was if reading the comments and they are all completely spot on,
yeah,
you know, non-remorseful, and all these horrendous things, right? Her intent was to control. And also, I think Mark Fry was saying, you know, the horrendous things you text your boyfriend, that's not what someone who's compassionate or cares about people says. You're right. Remember, but always go back to every time you see a behavior with her, ask yourself, what's the intent? Control, 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 control. She's using derogatory words, control. She's threatening to control. Everything she was doing to her boyfriend was to control. Yet we did see data point leakage that it wasn't all just about objectifying him as a tool. There is a little bit, I'm not saying there's a lot in here. I'm not saying she's 60% that she was empathetic and only 40% using him as a tool. No, it was probably a very small sliver. What I'm saying is she was not all on the psychopathy scale on this one.
Yeah.
There's actually genuine emotion in there. Granted, most of it's self-centered, but I do believe the bracelet issue was really about a connection to him. Now, granted, I won't even argue what the connection was, you know, because maybe she saw him as connection because she lost her free house and free money ticket because he was supporting her. But I do think there was a little bit more than that. And I only say that because of her initial reaction in the hospital to the loss of him. You know, so think about this. If she viewed him as nothing but a really shiny screwdriver as a tool, then when she first found out that he was dead, there would have been a pause, I believe, that I've seen. There would have been a pause as the wheels start turning. What's the impact on me? That's exactly what it would have been. What's the impact on me? And that's why when we see 911 calls and we're assessing them, we can always assess, is the focus on the person calling or is the focus on the individual that is now in distress that they're calling 911 all? And that's why anytime you get a 911 call and the focus is always on the person calling, what their schedule was, how they found them, all these things, that's a huge tell. But her initial reaction was not on processing the impact on me. It's not him. It can't be him. Go check on him. See what I mean? Him. So that was my data point shift a little bit there. Anyway, I know it's a long explanation, but that's why I think the bracelets were at least 50-50, him versus tool, maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you're exactly right looking at these comments they're coming in today. All this can exist in parallel lanes. This isn't like I'm right, you're wrong, or vice versa type thing. They're in two parallel lanes. Can she be this monstrous, unlikable person who is, you know, only, I'm just trying to look at some, she needed a validation 24/7 without a doubt.
Yep.
That also goes into the borderline type thinking. I mean, the list goes on and on of all the things, you know, she missed the perks. She did all those things. 1,000%. But did that equal, I want to go kill them? I don't think so.
No, and Duchess, no, she wasn't conscious. She wasn't alive. She wasn't conscious when they hit that wall. There's actually no even evidence she was conscious as she was. I mean, granted, she didn't come off that accelerator. It was floored at 100%.
100% up to the moment, yeah.
But you don't know whether she knew she was alive or dead. I mean, believe me, if you were flying at a wall, conscious of what you're doing, and because again, here's when I go into zero problem solving skills, one of the skills we have as problem solvers is thinking cause and effect of our behaviors. There was no effect on the cause she was thinking. Here's the cause she was using. She's using a cause of fear. The effect that she's always going for was control of them because she had reps in doing it that way. Never before had she contemplated I could die because of what I'm doing. Never. I don't think it was, again, who knows, conjecture, right? But you know, I don't think it was part of her calculus that she was going to die.
I don't think so either. I mean, and here's the interesting thing that I don't know that it's ever, I mean, I would think maybe it has been tried by now. I don't know how successful it would be tried or worked. But they argued in court that she had POTS, which typically happens when you're standing up and sitting down. It's a blood pressure thing. You can look into it if you want the full thing. There is an expert that says maybe this could it be possible? Sure. I would almost honestly say with a personality like this, you might get more leverage arguing some sort of mental defect. Honest to God, and I don't know if you can argue a personality disorder, and that's why her thinking was this way. It would explain it. It doesn't wash away the crime. She does know right from wrong, but the disorders can also explain impulsive behavior, reckless behavior, things where they don't exactly what we're talking about, don't quite grasp the consequence to, but will go 100% into that behavior. And the consequences are what they are. She could have easily died in any of that.
And this I'm going back to Duchess real quick. No, Mackenzie Schrillo was not conscious when first responders initially arrived. Here are the exact details. And this is directly from the testimony. Crash occurred 5:30 to 5:36. Driver is breathing unconscious is what the body cam video showed when they radioed in. So the driver was breathing unconscious. Officers reported hearing her mumbling once they assessed the vehicle, but mumbling, so she was unconscious.
It said nonsensical too, I believe, is what was reported. Right. So yeah, I mean, if we're going to discuss it, we have to all discuss.
Right,
it.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure
with
I was accurate,
the facts
right.
And not assumptions or lanes that people want to go down because it makes them feel good. So facts are facts, and that's what it is. Exactly.
Anyway, what was your original question, Tony? Sorry, I got distracted with that one.
What was my original question, Todd? I don't ever remember.
To be honest, I don't even know at this point.
I don't even know if it was a question. Well, I think it was.
I always want to make sure I'm accurate. It's like, oh my God, I said something wrong. I want to always make sure I'm on point.
I think it was
too.
Observational more than anything else. The bench trial. I want to talk about that for a minute because this was a bench trial. It wasn't a jury. Was that a mistake? And she got to choose it. This was Indiana, right? I believe.
Yep.
I think in Indiana, you have a choice whether you want to be tried by a jury of your peers or a bench trial. They chose bench trial. They got the judge that had basically the opinion that does not run with both of these things being parallel. She, you know, thought of her more as an evil, murderous person. Do you think that was a mistake? Do you think if she had done the bench trial, she would have gotten more conjectured thinking out of this? You also could be rolling the dice and getting a much stricter penalty as well. I mean, she could have with the bench as well. Was that a mistake?
Well,
15 years isn't bad for two deaths.
Well, and that's if she gets parole at 15 years, right?
Yes.
Really depends on the behavior behind bars, which is different from what we're getting to. So hindsight being 2020, I think, why not give it a shot at a bench trial? But I looked this up and, you know, getting Bob and Eric to weigh in on this, our two attorneys will be interesting too. The averages generally equal out on bench trial versus judge trial. I mean, bench trial versus jury trial, leaning a little more towards convictions, basically, if it's bench trial. Most likely bench trials are given when it's going to be a little more technical than emotional, because judges have the ability in general to put the emotional side, emotional impulse on things aside and go on the technical data as presented. And for some reason, that's how they swung on this one. And maybe also because they knew how unlikable she was, that emotionally a jury would side, you know, more definitively on that she is a nutter, like most of us in the audience are saying, and that this is what crazy people do. They intentionally kill people. And so maybe they thought they'd get a better read on her from the judge themselves. That's the only reason to why do it. But what's interesting is, you know, defense falls down on really doing a medical diagnosis on her in any way and submitting it in time, which is part of what you'd want the bench trial to be looking and analyzing is causing implication. But I'd say the really damning part, though, whether it was bench trial or jury trial, is the car data. I mean, that just showed what a raving lunatic. And also the video. You know, her racing down the street at 100 miles an hour, going straight toward that wall. That was probably some of the most chilling crap I've ever seen.
Can I ask you guys a quick question on what you think about the manslaughter piece of this?
That's what I want to go to. That's right. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so with that, I mean, people die in horrific situations that are considered manslaughter, et cetera. Her behavior leading up to it and this, you know, behavior that she was convicted of, this was going to happen. If it didn't happen that day, it was going to happen at some point in her life where she put somebody's life in danger because of her need to control. Don't you think that that probably played into why the judge said, hey, you're done?
It's exactly what I was just thinking, Todd. I was actually going to bring that up next.
Sorry.
I mean, we always do that. I mean, so it's great. She was arcing towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, if it didn't happen now, Mackenzie Schirella would be in jail for something else, for injuring someone else. I mean, is the recipe there that she was going to turn into like a murderer or something? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you have if you have very little regard for others and you're that self-centered, I could see her being the next Corey Richens at some point. Jail, I'm wondering, or prison, I'm wondering, maybe the best damn thing that's ever happened to her, if it took her off that path and interrupted the thought process and her life's path. But yeah, I completely agree. If it wasn't this, it wasn't that. Obviously, you can't litigate, you know, predictions of the future and shitty people. Sometimes I certainly wish you could, but no, I completely agree. I think, if it wasn't here, it wasn't this, you were really just a matter of who knows, days, weeks, years away from her doing something absolutely horrific.
She was a car wreck waiting for a place because that was her method of control through fear. And until she wrecked it and either destroyed physically lives, you know, through horrendous accident or death in this case, that was going to happen. And so this is one of those types of cases too, where, remember, people say, you know, if you remove guns, all murders will go away. No, if you have someone intent on killing someone, they're going to find a way to kill you. And same thing here, or do harm to others. Because she's using fear as a motivator, she is going to use fear's motivation no matter what. Whether she had access to a car or some other thing in her life, she's going to make you fear her in some other way, which is going to end tragically because eventually people become inoculated to it. So she's got to keep ramping up that control because as people just see it as an empty threat. See, this is what happens. They started seeing her mouthing off as empty threats of this car thing. That's most likely why, too. You weren't seeing, you saw a little bit of it, steering wheel input at the very end. You know why? They probably thought she was crying wolf again. Or they're unconscious, you know, passed out early in the morning. Who knows, right? But they're inoculated towards her crap. And so she had to ramp it up. And that's exactly what happened. And also on, I don't think we covered this enough. And I think maybe this is why, you know, they're putting in here in comments is 100% guilty of killing people. Now, I think, and this is where distinctions I think we're going to go on next, is the difference between murder versus manslaughter. That's where it's nuanced, I think, and that's where that intent comes in. But is she culpable for the lives that she took? 100%. Yep. 100% behind the wheel, no data inputs except 100% flooring right at that friggin' thing. And I think the damning thing, too, on her was the fact that that control turn she did on that road before she floored that accelerator, she even had the blinker on. You know, I mean, there's someone completely with it in her brain until she wasn't. And that's when something happened. You know, it's too bad you couldn't have audio in that car. Listen to what was going on that went from literally zero to 100% zero problem solving skills in that final stretch.
Without a doubt. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, the links are in the description. Mackenzie Schirella says she has no memory of the crash. She said it in the hospital, said it at the trial, says it now, speaking from prison in the Netflix documentary, The Crash. The family say she's a calculated killer. A fellow inmate says the remorseful woman in the documentary isn't the person that she saw behind bars. Everyone in this case is telling themselves a version of truth that helps them survive. And it's understandable. This part is about separating what people believe from what the evidence actually shows. Here's something that didn't necessarily surprise me, but we do this every single day. So we have more reps, I think, in it's watching this type of behavior is the shock that everyone seemed to have that after the fact, she was still a self-centered little bitch. Yeah. Immediately after, there was some that was talking about some sort of brand deal. I mean, mom came through with, oh, she'd really love that. And she might be suffering more than other people or whatever the hell she said in that message publicly. That right there tells you a ton about the world in which Mackenzie Shirilla grew up around. And that line of thinking that mom is stupid enough to say something like that publicly and be that tone deaf to everybody else around her. I mean, that's just, okay, well, there you go. That's mom. And then the fact that Mackenzie would be interested in this might still be thinking very self-centeredly. Why would that suddenly change after a crash unless there's massive brain damage? She's still the same person she was after the crash. Of course she is. That doesn't change immediately because of that. Hopefully some reflection, hopefully some taking some time tempers it down and changes that. But everyone being shocked that she's the same narcissistic, you know, 16, 17-year-old monster that she was beforehand is still the same one after, doesn't surprise me, does it you? I mean, that actually proves more consistency to her argument that this wasn't calculated or planned because she's still the same damn person. She's not suddenly somebody different.
Yeah, and actually, into what one of the viewers said too is that, you know, if it was a jury trial, she would have been found, you know, 100%, you know, of murder. Yeah, I agree, because of all these other things, and that's probably why they chose bench trial, not that. I'm just curious about the charges themselves. You know, it could have actually fit, I think, the whatchamacallit, manslaughter as well, because of that intent. But also going back to the earlier question you had, Todd, was how many number of prison infractions. She's received 36 prison conduct reports so far and found guilty of 32.
I'm not surprised by any of that, you know?
Six counts involving contraband, altered clothing, Monopoly, money, paint bottles, magazine pictures, nude magazine pictures. Four counts disobeying a direct order, four counts violating institutional rules, regulations. So, she's a train wreck. There's no denying that she's a horrendous human being, and it just keeps coming down to the, I don't say curiosity. It's righteous. I mean, I think she does 15 years. That's at least righteous, if not even more. You're right. Zero remorse there. There's such an opportunity here for all the things we're talking about that we can see. The broken person that made horrendous choices that killed two people.
Yeah.
And the problem is for her, if at any point along the way, the people around her were giving her grace until you saw what happened before. And then what happens is when you see those thousands upon thousands of text messages like everyone's commenting on, then you're like, oh my God, you're a horrendous person. Then what you're actually doing is you're looking for that glimmer of what changed in you. Did you learn something from this? Are you remorseful about this? Because we're here to give you grace, keep you accountable, but in other words, to be willing to move through this if you can actually show and demonstrate that you're a human being.
Yeah.
She never did.
Well, she hasn't yet, but also I want to say, keep in mind, this isn't that long since this actually happened either. And she's 17 when she went in. So play biology in here too. Her brain also not fully developed, not going to suddenly change overnight. You add all this trauma in there. Yeah. It's probably more stigmatized than it ever has been. I'm not trying to give excuses to this girl because I do think she's a very monstrous human being and needs to be straightened out in some way, shape, or form, if that's even possible. And I don't know that it is. Some brains are just so broken and so disfigured internally, if you will, that the way of thinking is the personality disorder, and it drives them for the rest of their lives until they die, however they kick it. That could very easily be going on here too. But I just think it's important to understand what the hell is actually happening here. Not so much to save Mackenzie Shirilla, but so people can recognize this shit in people who haven't done something this horrendous or stupid yet. And maybe help steer them a little a different direction, especially if you're a parent and you see a child going through things like this. People are describing that behind bars, we just talked about all the infractions. I know somebody mentioned a lot of them are very sexual infractions as well, having to do with her looks and her. Of course they are, because before she went into this, she was obsessed with how she looked and how everyone, you know, this is how she walked around. With her fish lips out in her camera and her eating disorder on full display. This is still who she is behind bars. She actually looks a little healthier now, quite honestly, behind bars. But it's not going to change. This is the only way she knows self-worth. This is the only way she knows validation is through her looks and through her sexuality. Somehow that needs to change if she wants to be a healthy adult. Will that change? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so.
She's still pretty young. I mean, she's early 20s. I mean,
so what's going to have to happen is a bigger aha. I mean, that's why
a bigger aha. Yeah. I don't know.
Which how do you get bigger than that? So here's why this, I think she's doubled down on this aspect of her personality and the thing she's doing behind bars, because she's lost the only thing that was working before: fear. Who's she going to threaten? Prison.
Yeah.
What tool does she have to do that?
Yeah, I mean,
and
she's
so
a chameleon.
If you got nothing left there, you're left with the only other thing you had, which was a side that everyone got sick of. So but if she keeps getting response to it, you know, I see a very, I mean, if you're one of the victims' families in this, I think you at least know that she's not living a healthy life. I think she's going to be taken advantage of very significantly behind bars, because people are going to see her, what she's doing to try to have this persona behind. People are going to take advantage of that. Probably I have taken advantage of that. And she's going to be, I think she's going to be a tool of someone else's, or already is.
I like the comment, Mackenzie should get a restraining order against her mother. I agree. I think that's, you know, she should, I mean, that's probably the only thing that's feeding her. So the odds of that happening are not there. But if she wants to grow as a human being, we always talk about having
loving critics.
Yes, she has enabler, basically a unregulated enabler, basically is what you have in mom there. Not a loving critic. If mom loves her, if dad loves her, and when I say love, I mean truly wanting the best for the person, not just what's going to make mom feel good about her existence or dad feel good about his existence or the decisions they made raising her and continuing to back her up as this victim who's in prison, who made a bad choice and that was misunderstood. That's not going to help her get any better. It's this shell of a human being that was wandering around your house that then you said at 17, oh yeah, go ahead, go live with your boyfriend. That what could possibly go wrong? It's that sort of shitty parenting that continues on even with her behind bars. And the second she can get broken from that sort of enabling, I think is going to be the second that her life starts to change. But I don't think that's going to happen until they're dead. And unfortunately, that's probably a long ways down the road and plenty of time for Mackenzie to F up her life far more than she already has.
Her mom reminds me of Jesse Butler's mom.
Yes.
Same type of thing. Patting on the back, poor thing, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm chuckling because I think her only saving grace is if she gets herself a good prison wife who can straighten her out.
Honest to God. Yes.
That's what happens. I've watched a lot of those videos, man. There's some tough wives in there she can team up
sometimes
with.
Sometimes I feel like that might be the only way. I don't know. And I could see that being... you know, she's going to have something dramatically happen and the enabling needs to stop. And it does not help her that there is basically a Mackenzie Shirilla fan club out there that's like, oh, you shouldn't be in here. No, you should. 15 years sounds fair. Was the charging off? Yes, it should have probably been more manslaughter, but you're not a victim. you've created victims. And now you have all these people who are trying to, it seems, tell themselves a version of the story that fits their narrative best to help them deal with whatever the hell you are. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And why nobody can? Because she herself doesn't know who the hell she is.
And so I want to, let's go back to that for 1 second. I actually looked up, because I know we are not even arguing anything. You know, we're just kind of been talking about a bit the difference between a murder charge versus a manslaughter charge. And I actually, I plugged it in and did research on the statute for it. I wish I could. I have so many notes on this case. I can't pull it up in front of me. If she had been convicted of voluntary manslaughter instead of murder, I have that one. But there is actually, if you even remove intent of murder, of taking lives, she still could have been and convicted of and charged with murder, not manslaughter. So murder would actually still, it actually, and that's why whether the intent was there or not, the charge can still stand as is. And so they didn't, so even if the prosecutor is listening to Tony and Robin and saying, you know, guys, you know, in hindsight, you make a lot of sense. I don't see the intent of murder there. It was just, you know, narcissistic, stupid person controlling people, and she killed them all by being stupid and self-centered. I'm still charging with murder. It actually fits.
Yeah. One more thing in here, and this is, and I'm in no way trying to disparage anybody or the victims' families, because everybody's grieving their own ways and they need to try and make this fit. One of the lines that really struck me a bit was needing the truth so they can grieve properly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person needing that's not the truth. That's someone wanting their own version of it confirmed. Mm-hmm. That what they accept of what she did to be fact. And she says, I don't remember any of it. Basically, the argument is, you're lying. You need to tell us you remember what happened and you did this on purpose. And if she doesn't do that, nobody can grieve properly. You're never going to get that. And you don't need that to grieve properly. You don't. That's something that is going to need to be found internally. You're not going to find it in an outside source from a personality disordered narcissist monster child. You're just not going to. And even if you were to get it, what does it matter? Because she contradicts herself left and right anyhow. That's not going to get you there. And I get it. Yeah.
They just want to see her in pain. I mean, that's what a lot of people are looking for to be able to move through things, is they want, you know, part of, you want justice, and in a lot of people's minds, justice is you feeling pain. You won't even come close to feeling what I feel, the loss I have. I want you to suffer. I want to hear that you're suffering. I don't want to just know it, that I see how much you're suffering. I want you to understand you are suffering.
And if I was that parent, I would too.
Yes. That's what they want to see.
Without a doubt. But is that the best path to healing? No. I don't think that's going to get them there. And it's hard, you know, I've never been in a situation like that. So it's hard to say, you know, I get it. But I guess my thought process in all of this of like wanting these families to find their healing and some way forward, they're never going to fully heal when you lose a kid, but something, I think, people need to stop looking at her for the answers. She's not going to give you the answers.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of what we want for justice is we want the person to feel like they're being punished.
Yeah.
And when she doesn't have the behavior and displaying it for the rest of us to see that she feels like she's being punished for what she did, again, there's no accountability then. I mean, it sounds like she's living a great life behind bars because she's just taking advantage of another system. She's breaking all the rules, getting away with it as always, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, the only way you start getting justice from this point is that they keep a great tally of all the rules she's broken. And then that confident, if she's still the same person in 15 years when she goes up for parole, all think I'm going to get out. And it's like, no, because of blah, 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 blah. You're staying another 15 years. And that's watching the shock on that face would be really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's getting away with it again.
I agree. I mean, that's all you can do is keep tallying it up and then just keep exposing her to her downfalls. And again, people like this, expecting them to change is a losing battle. You are going to waste your time and your life doing it. They are chameleons. They are in survival mode at almost all times, no matter what. Even when it's not called for, that's what puts them into these sort of situations to begin with, where everything is life and death. Everything is all or nothing. That's where the borderline comes in a lot. Yeah. And that's their way of thinking. She's still thinking that way. So when it comes time to be emotional and reflect and think about this, she can be emotional and reflect and think about this. When it comes time to being tough and being the badass in prison, and I'm going to break the rules and look at me, look at my body, look how sexy I am, look at this, look at that, she's going to be that person. When it comes time to mooch off of mom and get attention and money and shit that she shouldn't be doing, she's going to become that person. She will adjust herself for whatever situation best fits her in that moment. That is what this type of personality does. That is what this type of personality is. Yep. Everyone needs to stop being shocked that this is what it is. People just need to understand this type of personality and the monstrous ways that they emote and that they act. It exists. It's what they are. It's less confusing when you just kind of accept, yeah, there's these types of people that contradict themselves left and right. They're out there every day. Most of them don't end up killing. They just have a tornado of torture for everyone that they encounter.
Tornado of torture. I love that. Yes.
I mean, they really are.
Tornado of torture. No
doubt. And she will continue to be. And a lot of them never get fixed, no matter how much tornadoes and torture they inflict on everyone else. They're still the frickin' chameleon at the end of the day.
Well, because in order to get fixed, you have to think you need to be fixed, for one
that's
thing.
That's exactly. And 1,000%. That is a huge reason why most therapists don't want to deal with borderlines.
Because she thinks she's got it all going on, man.
They won't, and they don't think they need to be fixed, or they won't go into therapy to get the fixing that needs to be done, and they self-serve it, and they use it all basically as a way to self-aggrandize themselves and make it all about them again. So it's a vicious cycle with this type of personality. There's very little fixing it. And I think that just might be the answer.
Once again, out of all the behaviors we see, from all these things, you know, no guardrails, enabling, no problem solving skills. Yeah. The other one too. What do we see in every single case like this? The victim mentality. They are wound collectors. Yep. It's unjust towards me. I got it all right. Yep. Never owning their own behavior.
1,000%. I think that's what you got here. Mackenzie Shirilla. Wednesday, Siobhan Scott's going to be on, and we're going to be discussing it with a psychotherapist, getting her perspective and breaking it down even deeper. So be sure to join us for that. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Get Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever books are sold. Again, an autographed copy. Send it to her, Robin. I think that would be a helpful one for Mackenzie Shirilla.
The anti-narcissist book.
Can you imagine if we started sending it to all these people that and then 20 years from now, you get these letters from all these like murders. You changed my life.
I actually found out where she's staying. I thought about sending her one.
Send
I'm
her.
Not kidding you. You know, because we've reached out to a few people before. I'm thinking of seeing what we might be able to do to have another response, man.
It'd be interesting. It would be interesting. Again, your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk
from
again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind. Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.